This morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. And the sermon will be shorter this morning because we're going to have, following this, a time of congregational prayer. And Mike will introduce that some more when the time comes. But leading up to that, we're going to look at Zechariah and Elizabeth and look at their prayers and God's answer to their prayers in Luke chapter 1. So if you want to turn there and have that ready, let me begin by saying that God sovereignly works through prayer. You may have read in 2 Corinthians 1:11, Paul says this. He says to the Corinthians, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many." And so, please don't undervalue prayer. God, in His sovereignty, has chosen to work many times through means, and prayer is one of those means through which God often works. You know, one of the things that that we may be in a situation or a season or stage in our life where we can't do very much physically, but we can pray. And I want to say to you that is more important than you probably realize, that prayer does matter and that God works through the prayers of His people. And so even as Paul says, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many, you might find one day how God worked through your prayers as well. So please don't undervalue prayer to each of us personally and as a congregation as well. Now, the setting the scene for Zechariah here in Luke chapter 1. Zechariah, we're told, and we'll read it, but I want to give a little bit of background. Zechariah was a priest. Now, in Israel, there were priests. And well, there were Levites, and Levi was a descendant, was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And so one of the 12 tribes of Israel were the Levites. And then out of the Levites were the priests. And the priests were those who came from the line of Aaron, who was Moses' brother. And Moses and Aaron were Levites. And so there were Levites, and then some of the Levites were priests in this coming from Aaron's line. And then there were those who came from, I believe it was Eleazar, I didn't write it down in front of me, but one of Aaron's descendants, then the high priests came from. So you have the Levites, and then you have Aaron and his descendants were the priests, and then one of Aaron's descendants, I know it starts with an E, descended from him were the high priests. Now, we're told that Zechariah was a priest, and he was a priest in the order of Abijah. Now, there were 24 priestly divisions, and each priestly division would serve for 2 weeks at a time at the temple. And so Zechariah was here serving in his 2 week annual stint at the temple, and he was chosen to go and offer incense during a daily sacrifice. Now, the way that this worked is that there were so many priests for each division that it would only be a once-in-a-lifetime thing where you would be chosen to offer the incense. And if you had offered it in your past, you would not be eligible to be chosen to offer it. And then the priests to offer the incense were chosen by lot. And so here's Zechariah, and we're told that he's old. We don't know exactly how old, but and this may sound old or not to you, depending on kind of where you are, but he might have been 50, 60, 70. I mean, we're not told. So he hadn't been chosen all his life. He'd been a priest all his life, and he hadn't been chosen. And here at this moment, and it has God's sovereignty written all over it. We know from Galatians 4:4 that in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. And the coming of John the Baptist was part of this, the fullness of time for the coming of the Messiah. And so here's Zechariah. He's chosen to be the one to go and offer the incense on his priestly duty. And here he encounters Gabriel, the angel, and receives this word that we're going to read about. So one of the things that I want us to see is some of how this worked and what Zechariah was there doing and offering incense. The incense symbolized the prayers of the people going up at the time of a daily sacrifice. And here Zechariah has been chosen to go in and offer this All his life he hasn't been chosen. Here he is now. God's sovereign hand is all over this. And now I want to read Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. And I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's word. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now when he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." You may be seated. So here, Zechariah and Elizabeth, we're told that they're old, that Elizabeth's barren, yet we're told that they're righteous. They walk in the way of the Lord. This doesn't mean that that they had never sinned. In fact, we see the way that Zechariah responds to Gabriel is in disbelief, and then he's silent and can't speak if we read later on. But they walked in the way of the Lord is what's being indicated here. They were faithful. This was a righteous couple. They were old. They were believers in God, and so covered by what would be Christ's blood shed on the cross for their sins, justified by faith as Abraham was. So Elizabeth and Zechariah, who looked to the Lord in faith, they were a righteous couple who followed the Lord. And yet Elizabeth was barren, and barrenness was one of those curses in Deuteronomy that was given to sinners. However, it's not always the case that the reverse holds true, that because you're barren, it's because of your personal sin. Now, it's a result of the fall, but this couple, we're told, is righteous. So the indication that we see here is that Elizabeth's barrenness was not because of some sin that she had committed. It was part of the fall, but it wasn't her personal sin that resulted in this. Sometimes that can be the case. But as I say, the reverse is not always true, that barrenness indicates that there's this personal sin that it was the cause of this barrenness. And in Elizabeth and Zechariah's case, it wasn't. In fact, it was like the man born blind in Luke 9. John 9, verses 2 and 3, I'm quoting here, "And his disciples," that is Jesus' disciples, "asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" And so this barrenness, which was one of those things that in Deuteronomy was one of the curses, you can't look at that and say that necessarily because somebody's barren, it's because they're being cursed for their personal sin. A result of the fall, but not necessarily because of their personal sin. In the case of Elizabeth, Zechariah, and this man born blind. And so we're told that they're righteous, and so you're scratching your head. How is it that they don't have children? And you're wondering how this is being worked out. Well, this is part of God's plan and purposes. We'll see, like this man born blind. And what looked like in Zechariah and Elizabeth's case as this great setback. I mean, they've been praying for years and years and years. You can imagine they get married and they're excited they're going to have children, and then it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And then Elizabeth reaches menopause. She's old. By this point, she's barren. They're old. This is a situation that is impossible, humanly speaking. And so there they are now in their old age. And they had prayed, you know, their whole lifetime together for a son. God hadn't answered with a yes to them at that point. Yet they were still faithful. They were righteous. They were faithful. They walked in the commandments of the Lord as we've read. And so you might look at this and say, "What a this looks like a setback." But as we see in the story, rather than a setback, this was actually a set up for God's plans and purposes for them. So they're in this time and this season of barrenness that's gone on for many, many, many years. And you may be able to relate in your personal life or a corporate life of a church. There may be a time of barrenness, of not seeing what you would want to see. And yet you continue to walk faithful, continue to pray, continue to look to God, trusting that we don't see the whole picture, and that God has His plans and purposes that He's working out. And we see this take place in the case of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth were barren and yet were faithful, and would in God's time receive a son as they had prayed for so long. Now, this was a prayer service. Zechariah, as I said, was offering incense in the holy place of the temple, not the Holy of Holies, but the Holy of Place where the incense was offered, and it symbolized the prayers of the people. And we're told that the multitude was outside praying, verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. So Zechariah goes in leading this prayer service, himself praying in the holy place of the temple, offering the incense, and the whole multitude outside is praying. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for a son for years and years and years upon end upon end upon end, continuing to walk faithful and look to the Lord, trusting in His plans and purposes, continuing to pray. And there they are in the temple now at this prayer service that's within the fullness of God's time in His sovereign plan and purposes. Zechariah is chosen to offer the prayer offer the incense in this prayer service during a daily sacrifice. And there the angel Gabriel meets with Zechariah and says in verse 13, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now here we see this wonderful answer to prayer. And note that Elizabeth and Zechariah received more than they imagined. They were praying for a son. They didn't know that God was going to answer their prayer in His timing and for His glory with a son who would be the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6, the forerunner of the Messiah, who, as we read here in Luke verse 15, or 16, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him." Before him, who's him? The Lord their God. Who is that we know that he was the forerunner of? Jesus. So here we see that Jesus is God. Here, the Son of God. This is a direct affirmation of Jesus' divinity. That here, John the Baptist would be the forerunner of the Lord their God, Jesus, the one before whom John goes to prepare the way of the Lord, and John would be about this work, this ministry of in the spirit and power of Elijah. And this is a reference to Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 through 6, in which it was prophesied that Elijah would come to prepare the way for the Lord. And here John the Baptist is the fulfillment in the spirit and power of Elijah, Malachi 4, 5 through 6, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were praying for a son. God answered their prayer not just with a son, but with John the Baptist. Did more than they asked or imagined for the sake of the kingdom of God and the glory of God. And here, so you see, it's this wonderful, joyous occasion. You see this couple that hadn't received an answer of yes to their prayers for decades and decades and decades, and all human hope was gone, and yet they continued in their faithfulness. And in the fullness of time, in God's timing, He saw fit to answer their prayer with a yes to a son who would not be just any son, but would be John the Baptist, who would fulfill the prophesy of Malachi 4, 5 through 6, and prepare the way of the coming of the Messiah, their Savior. So you see how God's sovereign plan is at work in this. So if you ever get discouraged in your prayers and you think it's taking decades and decades and decades, and you're continuing to look to the Lord, and you're walking in faithfulness before Him, and you're not seeing your prayer answered. No, God sometimes answers yes, sometimes no, sometimes not yet or wait, and you're continuing to look to Him. One of the things we see from this is persevere in prayer and in faithfulness, and leave it to God's sovereign plans and timing, because He wrote the story better than Zechariah or Elizabeth ever would, and they got an answer to their prayer that was beyond what they were even asking or imagining in the coming of John the Baptist. And so remember too, as we're going to turn to a corporate time of prayer this morning for our church, and remember, as James says in chapter 4, 2 and 3, he says that you do not have because you do not ask. So there's some things that we may not have because we're not asking. Some things God gives us whether we ask or not. But there's some things that we may not have because we haven't asked in prayer. And then James goes on and says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And so we need to ask for the glory of God, submitted to His will, in the name of Jesus. This is partly what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, that we're representing Him and His concerns and His heart in our prayers. And so we're told to ask. We need to ask. We can't undervalue prayer. We know God works through prayer. And I think that's part of the reason why sometimes people don't pray as much as they do, because they feel like it's vain. But it's not. Prayer, don't undervalue prayer. God works through prayer. It's one of the means that He has ordained to carry out work in this world for His glory. And we see it in Zechariah and Elizabeth's case, in His timing. Decades and decades and decades later, they persisted in prayer. That's another thing too. Not only do we need to ask in prayer, we need to persist. Jesus tells the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, verse 1. Luke tells us this. He says he told this parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So you may not see the prayer answered. You may not see it answered the way that you hoped, or the Lord has said, wait. Maybe He said no, and so you stop praying at that point because you have your answer. But if He hasn't said no, He hasn't said yes, He said wait, or He hasn't responded it's a not yet in essence, or you persist in prayer. We persist in prayer to the effect that we ought always to pray and never lose heart. Like Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for decades and decades and decades, walked in faithfulness, and continue to pray. So we need to ask, we need to persist in prayer, and then we also need to submit ourselves to God's will in prayer. And so Jesus, we know, taught us in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that He taught us to pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to God. And so we pray, we persist, and we submit ourselves to the Lord, and we see what He's going to do for His glory and in His timing. Now we see from Zechariah and Elizabeth that the impossible for us is not a restriction upon God. And so there he was in the temple praying, continuing to pray, looking to God. And what was humanly speaking impossible, the Lord does this miraculous work to give a son to John, or to Elizabeth and Zechariah, to somebody who was barren and who was past childbearing age. The Lord does this miraculous work like He did for Sarah and Abraham. He does this miraculous work, and this miraculous work points. It has His hand written all over it, so it miraculously points to God's hand in the coming of John the Baptist, the ministry of the John the Baptist, forerunner of Jesus, and it shows that this is God's work, God's plan. And so God answered the prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth according to His wonderful plan, in His timing, and for His glory, and they received far more than they even imagined. Because, as I said, their son was the fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5 through 6, the forerunner of the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Himself. And so as we pray, let's persist, let's ask, let's yield ourselves, and let's continue to walk in faithfulness, trusting the results to the Lord, and continuing to ask, and to have this doxology in mind that Paul gives in Ephesians 3:20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The answer to Zechariah Zechariah's and Elizabeth's prayer was part of God's redemptive plan and purposes. It was for His glory. It was part of the fullness of time, the coming of Christ. And you and I are positioned here and now as prayer warriors with the task of sharing Jesus with others and persisting in prayer to be used for God's kingdom. And let's persist and see how He might use us in our prayers for His glory. It may look different than what we would maybe write the story, but we can trust absolutely that in His plans and purposes, He's far more wise, He's perfectly good, and He's almighty, and He will do things the best. And if we knew what He knows, we would ask for exactly what He ends up doing. And so let's persist in prayer. And remember that prayer is a privilege as well as a duty, and prayer really does matter. And so let's, as a church and individually, reminder to walk in faithfulness, persisting in godly prayer, never giving up, and trusting that God will answer in the best way possible. So are we concerned this morning for things personally, for things in our church? Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray, and like Zechariah and Elizabeth, let us pray and pray that we see God exalted and glorified, and the kingdom of God advanced, and the ministry of Christ furthered in our lives and in this world. And so let us be people of prayer for the glory of God.